You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening, 7 p.m. service. Tonight, we are starting a brand new series called All That Matters. This is basically our series about finances. We're going to talk about finances, wealth, possessions, and how it relates to the kingdom of God. Basically, the goal of this series is for us to have a biblical perspective on wealth and possessions and finances. For us to know what Jesus thought about when it comes to wealth and finances. And you might ask, "Ano man, why do we need to do so? Why do we need to have a biblical perspective on it?" Here's the thing. If you read your Bibles, many times the word money and its variations are mentioned several times in the Bible. 16 out of the 38 parables talks about money. 1 out of 10 verses in the Gospels talks about money. And over 2,000 verses in the Bible talks about money. Diba, if you want to emphasize something that is important, diba, many of us would highlight, underline, and circle or capitalize it or something in their time, in their culture, in place. If you want people to know that importante ang thing, then you would repeat it, you would mention it again and again and again. So here we can get clearly this image that money was important to the Bible. For God, money is important. We have to have a biblical perspective on money because money is more than just an economic issue or concern. It is also a spiritual issue. You cannot separate money or how you handle money with your spiritual condition. Together, it's not one or the other. This preaching is not an anti-wealth or anti-finance preaching or something, but it's for us to understand and learn what does God have to say about our wealth. So, for this first installment, we're going to talk about Jesus on heavenly treasures. So we're going to look into a story in the Bible that adequately talks about the connection between our wealth, our possessions, and our spiritual condition. So kindly turn your Bibles to Matthew 19, verses 16 to 24. I'm going to be basing mainly on these verses. So kindly read your Bibles, whether it's a hard copy in a Bible or it's an app on your phone or tablet. Read them on those verses. It says there in Matthew 19, verse 16 to 24. "And behold, a man came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I have kept. What do I still lack?' Verse 21, Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.'" So again, as we read a while ago, we're talking about Jesus and an encounter he had with someone. In the first verse, we're talking about that there was this man who came up to Jesus. There's this man, and we don't know much about the man, but if you look at your Bibles, if you read through it, in this story, there's a title to the story. And different translations will give you slightly different titles. But there's something common between these titles. Okay, if you read through the NASB version, you'd say that the title is about a rich young ruler. In the ESV version, which I read a while ago, it talks about the rich young man. And in the NLT or NIV version, it talks about simply the rich man. Of all the translations, the one thing they have in common is that it talks about a rich guy. This person, this man who went up to Jesus, was a rich person. Tato ni siya. And so, you know, this is the kind of person we're going to talk about. We don't know much about him, but we do know that he is rich. This man had, since he is rich, had the prestige, the prominence, the popularity, the position, and the power. Because if you look at in some versions, it says here that he is a ruler. He's not just some random rich guy. He's also a ruler. He has authority, and he is rich. He is crazy rich. Parang yung moving a crazy rich Asians. But this man had all of these things that comes with money, with his great wealth. He was prestigious, he was prominent, he was popular. I don't know if you would agree, your seatmate is popular. Dagang friends sa Facebook, dili nakaka-add as a friend niya. Sa kadagang friends. And he has the position and the power. And yet, amidst all of these things, this guy, remember, he walks up to Jesus. This rich man with all the prominence and the power personally went to Jesus. I mean, if you're rich and you had all the resources, you could have just asked a servant, you know, atos Jesus, pakidala niya this mansion. Atos Jesus, pakisend for him, takpa siya or something. But this man personally came to Jesus. It goes to show you of his desperation, how sincere he is, that even though he had all of his things, he felt that something was missing in his life. That he had no peace. There was a piece of the puzzle missing that siguro would complete his life. There was something amiss. There's something that he lacked. And it was causing him uneasiness. He didn't have peace over it. And when we go back to the verse, he asked Jesus a question. It's in this question that we get to understand what he's looking for. It says here, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" When he asked that question to Jesus, he's talking about salvation. Jesus, utsay kailangan ako so that I may be saved, that I can have eternal life. What good deed must I do? And Jesus responds to him in this way. He said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." Now, why did Jesus say this way? Remember, he asked Jesus, "What good deed must I do? Utsay bato na ako so I can earn eternal life." Now, if you remember, last week, we were here last week when we closed our last series. Thank you sa Duha ka Buknag Church, last 7 p.m. service. The rest of you, I don't know where you were. But anyway, if ever you missed out last week, we concluded our series called The Story of Us. And the third installment, we talk about the redemption of man. What God did to redeem mankind. Because sin entered into the world, it corrupted the image of God in man. Man became sinners. Everything that man did was tainted with sin. That's why it's so easy for us to sin. Because we are sinners. And so God had to do something to save mankind. And that was through Jesus, our Savior. That was the whole point of God's plan. Now, for this young man, this rich man, he didn't get that. He didn't know that. For him, salvation or eternal life had to be earned by doing good deeds. He wanted to do something to get eternal life. And Jesus told him, there's only one who is good. Only God is good. Jesus basically told him that there was nothing good that he could do to earn eternal life. And for all of us here today, if you ever missed out last week, then let this be a reminder for all of us that we can't earn eternal life. No good deed. Eternal life cannot be obtained through good deeds. It's as clear and direct as that. Even if you go to church 5 times a week, you know, you attend from the 9, 11, 3, 5, 7 p.m. service. Diba? Kompleto nimo. Every day you finish reading the Bible, cover to cover. Diba? Dili lang one chapter, one whole Bible per day ang kaya nimo basahon. No matter what the good deed is, no matter how amazing it is, and yes, it's amazing good deeds cannot guarantee us eternal life. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, "We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags." Imagine ang pinakahugaw nga trapo yung ma-think of. Kanang malay nyo ginahugas nga trapo. Ang sige, balik-balik ra. You wipe the same things again and again. The most dirty rag you can think of. It illustrates our good deeds. And you might ask, why? Why is it our good deeds can't amount to eternal life? But it says here in the opening line, we are all infected and impure with sin. Everything that we do on our own, apart from Christ, is tainted with sin. We are sinners. It's kind of like when you get sick. There's this one time I got sore eyes. Anyone naka-sore eyes na mo? Diba? Sore eyes mo kay sores, diba? Everyone gets paranoid. They don't want to be your friend. I-isolate ka. Naka-sore eyes, makatakod ka. This one time, naka-sore eyes ko. Of course, I was quarantined in my room. Everything that I would hold, kailangan alcohol lang, trapuhan, before everyone else would hold it. Because if they just held it after I used it, there's a chance na mag-contaminate po sila, matakdan po sila. And the same thing with us. Everything that we do, because we are sinners, is tainted with sin. That's why our good deeds are like filthy rags. We cannot boast about our good deeds. We can say to the other person, "I'm better than you. Masbutan ko nimo." It says they're filthy rags. Apart from Christ, we're all sinners. We're all in the same page, same boat. We cannot boast amongst ourselves who is better. That's how important it is to have Jesus in the picture. That's why we need Jesus, our Savior. Apart from Him, we cannot hope to gain eternal life. Now, going back to the story in verse 17, after telling that, Jesus tells him, okay, there's only one who is good, only God. If you would enter life, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments. Yes, thank you so much for agreeing that. Tanagwisol, yes, keep the commandments. Now, when you say commandments, yes, we're talking about the Ten Commandments, or to expound before, we're talking about the law. A set of instructions, rules, or laws that God gave to Moses for his people. And he wanted them to obey it to the letter, or obey it as much as possible. And in verse 18, says here, he said to him, which ones? Medyo lakas dating si rich man. Jesus told them, obey the commandments. Sige Lord, which one? Asa ato Lord niya commandments. And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you look at it, parang that's kind of hard. Taas ang lista. But you know what the young man says? The young man said to him, all these I have kept. Buhat na ako na. Kaya na ako na, Lord. I've been doing that, Lord, since I was 2 years old. Eh, joke lang, di ba 2 years old. But gibuhat niya, what do I still lack? So this young man, this young rich man, was pretty confident in his righteousness. Medyo self-righteous siya because he felt like, okay, go. In my following of the law, of the commandments, it gives a picture that this young man, this rich man, was rich and he was religious. He was trying his best to follow these things. Verse 21, and Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. The word perfect here means brought to its end, finished, or complete. So when Jesus said, for you to be perfect, it means to be complete, whole, lacking nothing. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have. Your possessions, everything that you have, sell it. And then what you get, give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. Now, when you look at this statement, parang, tamsa, abi na ako, you know, redemption, salvation comes through Jesus. Is this how a person gets saved? Why is it that Jesus told him, sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you will have eternal life? Now, just to qualify this statement, this is not something we directly lift from the Bible and apply it to our lives. The whole point of this preaching is not for all of you. Here, after this sermon, manawag mo sa mama niyo, may, baligin ang baka ma para masave the tahanan. You sell your house, you sell your appliances. Ako electric fan, 10 years na na ako, ako ang baligyan. No, that's not the point. This statement was specifically for the young man's situation. Jesus mentioned this for him. Okay, this was his story. Tell it to your seatmate, his story. Okay, it's not your story. You're not to sell your possessions after this service. Walay mapraning og baligya nga, ay, baligyan us online or something. That's not the point. Jesus was dealing with this specific situation by surfacing his sin when he asked him to sell all his possession and give to the poor. Remember, this man felt righteous in his own mind. I've been following the commandments. Parang, usapay kulang na ako. Okay naman ko. But if you remember, we're all sinners. Because sin entered into the world, or Romans 3:23 says, for all have short of the glory of God. Everyone is a sinner. Everyone has missed the mark. But for this man, he feels pretty confident nga okay naman siya. In other words, there's a blind spot in his life and Jesus was surfacing, bringing it out for him to see it. And we're gonna learn later on what that was. That's why in verse 22, this was his response. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful for he had great possessions. Because he's rich, crazy rich. When Jesus told him, baligit na nani mo. And what you get, give to the poor. Di ba yun makuha niya ang proceeds? He has to give it to the poor pa. When he heard this, says, sir, he had great possessions. Not just some possessions or some significant possessions. He had great possessions. This guy was rich. And he was sad. I have to let this go. The man was not willing to follow the Lord if that meant he must give up his wealth. And this leads to what his problem was. Because firstly, let me just quote something from John Calvin. The keeping of the law is righteousness. Here's the thing actually. To keep the law, to follow the law perfectly, as it says here, by which any man who kept the law perfectly is righteousness. Actually, you can get eternal life and be righteous in the sight of God if you follow the law, the commandments of God perfectly. Tell your other statement for a while. Perfectly. Perfectly. Yes, sir. If there were such a man, would obtain life for himself. If you can follow the commandments of God perfectly, yes, you can gain eternal life. But here's the thing. But as we are all destitute of the glory of God, meaning we all miss the mark, we're all sinners, nothing but cursing will be found in the law, and nothing remains for us but to betake ourselves to the undeserved gift of righteousness. We cannot hope to attain eternal life by our good deeds because we cannot hope to follow God's commandments perfectly. I mean, just think about it. One of the commandments is honor your father and mother. Anyone here never mo nag-away sa yung parents? Panghilom, guilty tanan. Diba? All of us at one point, we had conflicts with our parents. Look at all those commandments. We've all failed that at one point or another. Maski once lang sa life nimo. If you failed maski once, wala na. You missed the mark. Thus, the man was breaking the two greatest commands. The man who felt confident, I've been keeping the commandments, Lord, kaya na ako na. Guess what? In one encounter with Jesus, it was brought out that he was actually breaking the two greatest commands. Firstly, he did not love his neighbor as himself. Because if he was to love his neighbor as himself, he wouldn't have any problem selling his possessions, giving the money to the poor. But ayaw niya. And he did not love the Lord with all his heart. He loved himself and his money more. In that scenario, in that encounter with Jesus, he came to understand or he came to realize that he loved his possessions and himself more than God and other people. He was not keeping the law as much as he hoped for. That's what happened. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, what is most valuable to you, there your heart will be also. What is your treasure, church? Where is your heart? Is it on God or is it sa possessions nato? The Bible says we're not to hoard up earthly treasures for ourselves, but seek the heavenly treasures. The rich young man tried to hold on to something he couldn't keep forever when he could have had something he couldn't lose. Heavenly treasures. If you remember, Jesus said, if you sell all that you have and give to the poor, you are going to have heavenly treasure. Come and follow me. For the young rich man, he chose the earthly treasure as more important to him. That's why in Matthew 19, verse 23, Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Now again, this isn't to say that rich people can't enter the kingdom of heaven. This isn't an anti-prosperity or anti-wealth kind of reaching. Anyone here, you're believing to get wealthy. You pray to God, Lord, prosper me. Kasi nagbelieve in you. It's not a trick question. It's okay. Ano mong kaulaw? Ipakita ni Lord, Lord, ma-prosper ko, Lord, ma-promote ko. Wala ka believe dere. Kasi na prayers dere. Maski prayers man lang. Okay, thank you. Wala, Jude. Wala prayers. Lord, nakita ni mo to, Lord. The point is, guys, it's okay to believe for prosperity, for wealth, for blessing. There's nothing wrong about that. There's nothing inherently wrong about that. What Jesus is trying to tell his disciples here is that why is it difficult for some rich people to enter the kingdom of heaven? Why? Because when riches become our blanket of security, we tend not to think of the life beyond this lifetime. We become over-reliant on our riches, on our wealth. But this means like anyone here, medyo mabad trip mo kung gamay na yung kwarta ninyo. Kasi mainit og ulo dere kung makagamay ang kwarta. You know, kung di na ka mo smile. Kung nakay kwarta kay, happy kay ka, joke-joke ka. Kung wala kay kwarta, di na ka mo joke. Hey, bro, kumusta na? Wala. Bad day, bad day. Di na ka managad, you know. When money becomes, when your wealth and possessions become, you know, the heart of your life, the central point of your life. When money and possessions becomes our security, they take the seat wherein God's supposed to be there. Kung asa ang throne ni God sa heart nato, remember, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But if wealth and possessions become our treasure, then there our heart is. And so no longer is God at the center of our hearts. Wealth gives people a false sense of security. Ah, okay, that. We have wealth and possessions. But here's the thing. Wealth and possessions can only provide us or give us security sa life nato, sa earthly life nato. But what about eternity? What about what happens after we physically die? Because here's the thing, money cannot buy us our salvation. Wealth and possessions cannot guarantee our salvation or cannot give us eternal life. Now, wealth isn't inherently evil, but the idolatry of wealth is. The love of money is. For this young man, the problem with him was that wealth, his great possessions became his idol. It became much more important to him than God, than whatever else God has commanded him. In other words, we have here a lordship issue. There's something in his life that's taking the place of God in his heart. And for all of us here today, it might not be possessions, might not be wealth. It could be anything in us that's trying to take the place of God in our hearts. That's what having an idol means. Wealth does not interfere with everyone's discipleship. Not everyone needs to sell their possessions. Again, you don't need to sell what you have after the service. Walang magpanic selling, if you can call it that way. Nor are the poor inevitably better Christians than the rich. So if having wealth doesn't make you more Christian or more holy or what, it doesn't mean naman na kung poor ka, you're more holy. I don't know about you, but some people, or maybe ako po to some extent in the past, before I became a Christian and a believer, I used to think siguro nga, if you're poor, you're more holy, more righteous ka, kasi you know, you're less evil siguro or something. And some people might think that. Well, whether you're rich, you're poor, your wealth is not an indicator of your salvation. In fact, both the rich and the poor person can be saved, can be redeemed by Jesus, can enter into the kingdom of God. Your wealth is not an indicator whether you are saved or not. It's that wealth stood in between this man and Christ. Thus, he needs to surrender his money. It stood in the way between him and being with Jesus and receiving salvation, eternal life can Jesus. Likewise, we all must abandon idols. We must all abandon idols, everything that seems more important to us than God. Matthew 19, verse 24. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Twice, he expressed in Jesus ang difficulty to people who love money, who value money over something else. Now, an expression niya is, it's much easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle. Have you ever seen a camel? I have a picture of a camel and the size comparison of a person. That's a camel. To those of you who don't know yet, that's Martin's. We had this 10-day mission trip namo sa Mongolia. The locals took us to see an actual camel. It's a pretty big animal. So imagine a camel and the eye of a needle. To anyone who loves sewing, karang sa mape sa una, karang excellent kay Moana, ako, I was really bad with that. Imagine how small the eye of a needle is. Only a thread could pass through it. Jesus says, nah, it's even easier for a camel to pass through that. It's a statement, of course. It's just a figure of speech. But it goes to show you that love of money can be a hindrance to us. Now, the cultural context of Jesus saying all of these things is because in their time, in their culture, sa panahon nila, they used to believe that, of course, riches is an evidence of God's blessing. That if you were rich, you were prosperous, you were so blessed by God. And that if you were poor, then for sure, you are being punished by your sin. If you're poor, for sure, na kay bad gibuhat. Grabe ka nga sinner. Pero kung dato kay ka, you're more likely to enter the kingdom of God. And the rabbis and the Pharisees would teach that. That was their thinking. Kung dato ka, okay, just nun ka kung dato ka. Kung pobre ka, ato ka sa hell. Muna ang thinking nila. But Jesus destroys this whole notion. By telling them it's hard for each person to enter the kingdom of God, na-destroy ang whole mindset nila. That's why in verse 25, they were greatly shocked. They said, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished or surprised, saying, who then can be saved? Abi na ako mga Diyos ng Lord. So, kinsa yung save Lord? Who can be redeemed? Verse 26, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With man alone, again, we cannot hope to gain eternal life. We cannot be saved by ourselves, but with God, all things are possible. What do you mean by all things are possible? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 says, for by grace You have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. I want to remind us, church, that we have been saved. If you're here today, you're a believer of Christ, you're a son or daughter of God. You have been saved not by your good deeds, but through the gift of God, His gift. Verse 9, not a result of works so that no one may boast. Tell your statement for a while, no one. No one can boast and say, you know what, saved na ko, kibutan kay ko. No one can boast and say, you know what, I followed as much as I can God's instructions. The only thing we can boast is what Jesus did for us. How He saved us. Because on our own, our filth, our good deeds are like filthy rags. Remember that. For this young man, this young rich man, he needed to see that his religiosity, his following the law, could not help him gain eternal life. He had to learn to give up his idol. Sad thing lang story because he walked away from Jesus. He couldn't part with his possessions. But coming from this story, I want us to talk about what we could do. We talk about the story of this person, this rich person with many possessions. And what we've learned from that is that we shouldn't hoard up, store up earthly treasures for ourselves. But look forward to the heavenly treasure, heavenly rewards. Anyone here, you love getting rewards? What do you mean? Anyone here, you don't want to be blessed? We all want to be blessed. We all want to get rewards. Guess what? There's a reward for us in heaven. And we can get that by not laying for ourselves earthly treasures. And here's one thing that we can apply. But first, let me read to you Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. It says here, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. As Christians, as God's sons and daughters, as His people called out to represent Him and glorify Him wherever we go, we are called to not just look into our own interests, not be consumed with our own problems and needs. And I'm not downplaying our problems and needs. I'm pretty sure many of us here today, we have legitimate, serious problems, needs. Some of us here today are seriously praying for breakthrough, for provision over something. But church, as believers, as God's people, we are called out not just to look into our own problems and concerns, but we are to look into the interests of others, to care for others, to be a blessing to other people. Remember, we are called to be the salt and light of the world. We are called to preach the gospel and live out the gospel. And we can do so if we are so consumed with our own bubble, with our own world. We need to learn to be a blessing to other people. I'm going to show a couple of questions to help make us think how we can best be a blessing to others. Firstly, if you are wealthy, if you're like the young rich man, you have great many possessions. If you are wealthy, how much of your wealth is utilized for the advancement of God's kingdom? Again, I'm not saying you sell all that you have. It's not that. It doesn't have to be grand and lavishly expensive. But the question is, what are you doing with your wealth? During tithes and offering, I have encouraged us now, you know, God is the source of our wealth, our provision, our prosperity. He blesses us. What are you doing with that blessing? What are you doing to advance God's kingdom, to glorify God? What are you doing with your wealth, church? What are you doing to be a blessing to other people? Second question. If you want to be wealthy, if you're not wealthy naman yet, but if you aspire to be wealthy, you aspire to be prosperous, and again, kasi nag-believe na may mong prosperous, may mong wealthy, may mong prosper. Okay, thank you sa three people na naminaw karon. But if ever you're praying to be wealthy and prosperous, same question, what would you do with that wealth to advance God's kingdom? What would you do? A lot of us, we're praying for God for provision. Lord, give me this, give me that. Lord, I pay for this. Lord, bless me with this. Para I get this, I get that. I can experience this, I can experience that. But pause for a while and think, what would you do to advance God's kingdom? What would you do if you get a certain amount, and how would you use that to be a blessing to others? Lastly, what do you do to the poor among you? to the impoverished people, to those who are living their lives na they don't get to experience the same privileges and perks that you are experiencing. What they do to the poor are among you. You know what? If you look at church history, especially in the Roman times, a lot of people would associate generous people with Christians. Na parang kung Kristiyano ka, automatically they would think that you're generous, radically generous. You know why? Because the Christians were one of the only people who would help the poor, really give to the needy, adopt orphans and stuff like that. They would do radical generosity. Ang early church. And if you look at church history throughout the years, there have been many people who started off as ordinary individuals. They weren't wealthy at birth or something. And they just did efforts to help the poor among them. They blessed the poor, did something. What about us, church? What could you do to the poor among you? To wrap this up, I want to end with this point. Let's value heavenly treasures by sharing with others who are in need. If we claim to value heavenly treasures over our earthly treasures, if we don't want to be too tied up and be materialistic and make our possessions our idols, let's show that we value those heavenly treasures by giving and sharing what we have to those who are in need. Malay nimo, what you have right now is someone's answered prayer. What you have right now can greatly bless another person. For you, maybe, wala lang ni, simple lang ni, but for someone, it could have been a month-long prayer na nila. And you get to be part of their breakthrough, of their testimony. Imagine you could be used by God to bless those who are in need.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.